Michael Phillips is joining us. He is a film critic for the Chicago Tribune, and he knows all about the upcoming Christmas films, and I'm sure there's a lot of them. Let's talk to him right now. Michael Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, joining us right here on our stage. Michael Phillips. How do you do?
Good.
You do a big Christmas thing, Michael?
Do I do? We get a tree, you know.
A tree is a big Christmas thing.
I try to keep it alive, water it occasionally, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's the kids. That's the
kids. You water your kids. That's a nice thing. How many do you have, by the way?
Three.
Oh, you do, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that I met here?
Oh, my son, 14-year-old John, is in the back here.
Your son, 14-year-old
yes.
John. Yes.
And he's got a wool-rich coat that has already been coveted by Sarah.
Yeah, there. Sarah covets all kinds of strange things. And so, okay. Now, the interview with Michael Phillips. So anyhow, how are you? You know what? I was going to look. I noticed your top 10 movies came out for the year. So I went online, and I couldn't get it because I'm not a subscriber to the Chicago Tribune. So I have no idea what you liked.
Yeah, the writers love that. They love the fact that nobody can read them online. They love that.
Yeah.
By the way, the interview, the James Franco, Seth Rogen film, I brought a copy. So look, can we show that now?
Yeah, how do we show it? You have to look at it. You have to pull it out of the canister and look at it frame by frame. Oh, that's not even funny. So what's the big deal?
You know, what would be funny is it'd be funny to find out that it's actually shown everywhere in North Korea and it's a huge hit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a big underground hit in North Korea. North Koreans now said they didn't do it, and they'd be happy to help us find whoever did.
Oh, great.
Did you see that?
Is that the latest?
Yeah, that's the latest.
My God, honestly, this story changes every 10 minutes.
You know, the story about it is much funnier than the movie could ever be. They should have made this movie about guys who make this movie about killing a foreign thing. And then
I would like to find out sometime personally to see. But it has been a weird, frustrating week for everybody. And,
Well, it's a terrible idea not to tank it. For that reason, that's a bad precedent.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But then to have the president sort of be the one to say it was a mistake, and then Sony's. Yeah. I mean, it's just a crazy kind of crazy week in American movie making.
Yeah, it's insane actually. And Phil Rosenthal did that thing, which you cited on Twitter.
Yeah, my colleague wrote a wonderful piece that sort of reminded people that in a very different situation.
Yeah.
William Randolph Hearst, when he didn't like Citizen Kane, which was a thinly veiled negative portrait of Hearst, basically tried to buy the print back from RKO and destroy the negative. And RKO probably had 10 minutes of temptation when the check was just floating before their eyes, But luckily, I'm not saying the interview was on a par with Citizen Kane.
Yeah, you know why he was so mad? He actually did have a rosebud sled.
Did he have a sled?
And the embarrassment of that, the last word you would ever say, would probably be about a sled, you know. The difference, of course, is that the interview is no Citizen Kane, you know. There's that.
We'll find out someday. No, I didn't.
You never saw it?
No, the press screenings of the interview were held sort of on schedule in L.A. and New York. But by the just the couple days before the Chicago one, all this happened. Yeah. So they pulled that, and so we'll see. Someday, maybe.
Well, I want to get to your list because I'm sure it's the right one.
The
guy from the New York Times came out with it, it was A.O. Scott or something.
Yeah.
I hated every film that he mentioned.
Really?
Every reference he made about
Well, now
the
I don't
film.
Want to stay because if you hate
I and he's on the New York Times, so he's got his own, this and that to think about. But, I don't know. But I have my own nomination for Best Picture, Best Actor.
Let's hear it.
St. Vincent, Bill Murray.
Bill Murray, okay, yeah, good, I like that.
And here's why, do we have that little clip? Can we run that little clip from...
So this Irish guy knocks on his lady's door and says, have you got any work for me? And she says, as a matter of fact, you could paint the porch. But 2 hours later, the guy comes back and says, "Might have finished, ma'am, but just for your information, it's not a porch, it's a BMW.
Let's get the last sigh from Bill Murray. Who's going to beat that performer? Not a Porsche, it's a BMW. I love that.
I love Bill Murray. I just think he should be our national person. You know,
he should. He gets better and better, I think. There's got to be a point where he's not going to get any better, but in all those Wes Anderson films and all this stuff. But he's in all these... That film about the guy who wanted to, the old guy who wanted to die and have his own funeral, and he was the
Get Low with Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
Most people didn't. That was undervalued. He's very good in that.
Oh, he's wonderful. Yeah. He's one in everything he does.
Yeah.
As Roosevelt, as FDR.
Yeah, it was less.
Yeah, less good.
Less good.
But it's still Bill Murray. I don't care. It was good. It was good. So, what do you like this year?
All right, the two I like the best. Yeah. Well, we can talk about that. I think a couple of Texas filmmakers. One, Richard Linklater, my favorite.
Hated
year.
It.
You hated Boyhood?
Oh, hated it.
What?
I hated having a Boyhood. Number one. And I stole this on the Pirate Bay before it went down. The problem is, I like to see all the films that I think you're going to talk about.
So you rip them off on Pirate Bay.
Rip off is in this day and age.
Okay.
Shut them down.
No, you're not alone. A lot of people find Boyhood now that it's been sort of unfortunately, fortunately, I think it's fighting its own hype at this point. And people are going in expecting the moon and the stars and this film, which took 12 years to make. And the director.
Took 12 years to watch, because I'll never get through though.
Look, I just saw The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies. Don't tell me about Endless, okay?
Don't get mad at me. I didn't make this film.
I mean, I started watching The Hobbit Thursday morning. I just left in the middle of it to come up here.
Another thing. But I mean, all right, so what's so great about it?
So the Boyhood, a lot of people think it is just the novelty or the stunt of the way it was made.
Exactly.
I don't agree.
Oh,
but,
I thought you were agreeing with that.
I found that it wasn't like any film I'd ever seen, really, where you're just an hour into the picture. If you get absorbed into the story of this boy's life and his family, an hour in, you've started with him on screen at age, I think, 7. And
he should have started seeing like fetal.
Fetal.
Little fetal. The scans.
Yeah, that was called Look Who's Talking.
It's
a boy. That was Look Who's Talking. But an hour into the picture, now you have the 14 or 15-year-old actor doing these scenes. And you're already, just as you do in life, you think, what did they look like when they were younger?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I loved I had a great... Yeah. Did anybody like Boyhood here?
Anybody not like Boyhood here? So I thought, that is this.
All right, what did you think of my number two, the Grand Budapest Hotel?
I loved it.
All right, good.
You got to love the Grand Budapest Hotel.
You did? You liked it?
Especially because I read it was based on, that hotel was based on the Ten Chimneys.
Oh, I didn't? No.
I got it right here. Dwayne Dudek in the Journal Sentinel.
He's
talking about all these films with Milwaukee connections, right? You know Dwayne?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one are we talking about here? Grand Budapest Hotel. He did a thing of all, Milwaukee connections. The Grand Budapest Hotel, archly comic tale set against old will, confectionery artifice, local reference director Wes Anderson and co-screenwriter Roman Coppola, visited Ten Chimneys, the former estate of Alfred Lunt Lynn Fontaine in Genesee Depot after a screening in Chicago. Well, after a screening.
Okay.
But Anderson has cited the architecture at Ten Chimneys as an inspiration.
Oh, okay, interesting. Okay.
Also, the film co-stars Appleton native William Dafoe. But that's,
Right.
Not his fault.
No, I love that film, and I had the experience. I liked that film a great deal when it came out earlier in the year, and by the end of the year, but liked others maybe better. But by the end of the year, that was the one that was kind of nagging at me. Like, I really want to see that one again, not just for the way it's made, which is, it's visually pretty meticulous and ravishing, but I really just wanted to see it play out again, because it's a very cleverly structured sort of Russian nesting doll of a movie, right? One story inside another. And that film, Michael, that film, which didn't feel like a top 10 to me when I first saw it, that turned out to be one of my very favorites of the year. So if I saw them all twice, would I change my mind? I don't know. I mean, but it was nice to see it a second time.
20 years a man and it runs off with it.
Yeah. But those are two of my favorites.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. However, Wes, the problem with Wes Anderson is his films are too beautiful. They're too sumptuous. They're almost distracting from what's happening. But I know it's part of the humor or something. He's like an overrealist.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It's surrealist.
You're not dealing with realism at all with this. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, they're so sumptuous and so. Like, all the films are like that.
Yeah. And in this one, I think I don't love all the Wes Anderson films, but this one I found just Ralph Fiennes brought it up to a level of where even the jokes that weren't funny were funny.
Yeah, he was great.
You don't think of Ralph Fiennes as sort of this high style comic actor, and he is in this.
And the lobby boy was very good.
Yeah, good. I thought everybody was good.
Yeah, who was the lobby boy? You know,
I forget his name.
Okay,
forget his name. But
okay. So we agree on that one. Okay.
Okay, good.
What's next?
So I'm one ahead of the New York Times right now.
Yes, you are.
Okay, good. Good.
He didn't mention. He didn't like Grand Budapest Hotel or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. There's a lot of films on the list I don't want to bore people with because, you know, you haven't seen them and they're foreign. But you should seek out, among others, a really great black comedy called Force Majeure about this Swedish family, this sort of picture-perfect family on vacation in the French Alps. And they're having lunch one day on the terrace, and there's a controlled avalanche going off, as they do. And the controlled avalanche runs out of control. And it looks for a second that they're all going to die. And the father of this family reacts so poorly in this situation that it changes their lives forever. Nobody dies, but it's basically about craven male cowardice and how you recover from it. So.
Yeah. But it's fiction, so you know, I don't have a problem.
But that's a film that I mean you have to seek it out. I'm sure it's played Madison or will, but
better than Tsunami, that Tsunami one where they go on vacation in the paradise. And...
Yeah, well, that wasn't funny.
It wasn't. This why was funny. I laughing? I don't know. It's,
but
it's hilarious.
Yeah, that's a film that you know I love Whiplash too. Who saw Whiplash here? Anybody see Whiplash? Okay.
No. Do you have any films on there that people have seen or they might go to?
All
I know
right,
you're
hang
a
on,
critic
hang
and stuff.
On.
And
you know, I may have to default to my 11 through 12 for the ones people actually saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Did anybody, for example, the Lego movie.
Frank,
the Lego movie.
Lego
all right?
movie is great.
Yeah.
And last time I talked to you, you were going to a screening of it. Remember, you had rearranged that because you were going to a screening.
Right.
And you said, hey, it's a great movie. And I said, but it was great. It was great.
It's great. I've never liked product placement so much
in
the movie.
Yeah, best product placement. Definitely. I want to say that Frank... For example, I'll just throw one in here. I really liked Frank.
Frank with Michael Fassbender.
Oh, he was great.
That's why I love. Yeah, that made the runner-up list for me. That's another film that it's got about the audience size of Force Majeure at this point. But if you see,
but it's about a musician who has some really severe psychological problems, but he happens to be a genius, musical genius. But he can only perform wearing this giant paper mache, whatever it is, head, and he's never without it. And it's an absolutely great movie.
It's hilariously frustrating too to have Michael Fassbender, who's not the most unsightly guy in the movies, you know, wear a paper mache head the whole film, almost the entire film. But and yet you get this very funny performance inside this paper mache.
You know, it's
head.
Funny, but it's very moving too. I mean, it's very and parts of it are very dark and stuff. But that's what I like in a film, something that's funny, and then you laugh, and then suddenly you're
this
crying.
Is Force Majeure. See this film. Yeah. See this film.
You know whether to laugh or cry, my mother used to say.
Yeah, or I think you're going to feel personally indicted by the.
You don't know how to dress for the weather.
Right.
You don't know how to dress for the weather, like my mother used to say.
I mean, there's films coming out that I've seen in the last few weeks that won't be released for another week or two. But the film Selma is very good, very good. Which is a really sharp, narrow focus. On the Selma March and Martin Luther King's life. So it's not a King biography in that standard, maybe predictable way of trying to cover the entire life of a man. Mm-hmm. But that's really, really good recent history made vivid.
What did you think about the Stephen Hawking?
Good. I thought it was good. Not the theory of everything. I think the two performances are really good. I think that and The Imitation Game. I don't know if anyone's seen that yet with Benedict Cumberbatch. These are two good, you know. I think.
Who is Benedict Cumberbatch and why is he everywhere?
Why?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a name you remember.
Yeah, yeah. Who watches Sherlock on television?
Oh, he's Sherlock. On...
He is having his moment for sure, and. He's going to make it tough for all the other actors named Benedict Cumberbatch out there because he's the best of the bunch.
He was in that depressing Southern one with all the women. movie. You know, the one.
Help August me. Osage County.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that one. That's a funny case, though, because that play... Yeah. Did anybody see August Osage County on stage? It was done at the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. Fantastic. 3.5-hour juicy play, 3 acts, rollicking, and this film comes out, and it's a turd. And it's... and
you
think...
Can you say that?
And what hurts...
We'll cut that out. That's all right.
Okay. What hurts is all these folks now say, well, I didn't like the film. I never need to see that stupid play. And you just think, no, you know, it was a wonderful play.
Wonderful play.
Yeah. Anyway, so be it.
It was unrelenting in its depressiveness. That's not a word.
Right. But you like
you know
that.
I mean,
you like that plus the laughs. So that's Frank.
It had some laughs in there. A few laughs in there.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Okay. What you got next for us?
Sorry. I mean,
you're still in your top 10?
Top 10? Yeah. But I'm skipping around. Okay. I'm skipping around. I mean, there's
do
another,
whatever you want.
You want depressing and funny? You want depressing and funny? Right. There's a comedy called Listen Up, Philip with Jason Schwartzman about the world's most narcissistic, egocentric writer. Who alienates everybody in his life, and yet somehow this film is a delight. It's harsh. It's not a film that asks you to understand or even like the protagonist. But you know,
this could be it for Schwartzman. Then
who knows?
I mean, I've been waiting for a film for him. I sort of like him. I like that HBO that TV show that he did. It was pretty funny. The detective one,
right, with Ted Danson. Yeah,
with Ted Danson was great, by the way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I always think, well, in the right film, he's really going to knock my socks off, you know, Jason Schwartz.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. Some actors, I think, Schwartzman would be one of them. He's not, you wouldn't call it a wide range. You know, he's got a certain.
You'd call it a narrow range.
He's got a narrow range. He's not.
And he was in that Wes Anderson one.
Right. But he's found ways to really play all kinds of roles within his level of talent, which is considerable. He's not a chameleon like a guy like Benedict Cumberbatch who can do, you know, can do a Southern slave owner in one film and do, you know, do Alan Turing, the code breaker in another.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Settled that.
Yeah. And I would, the last one I'm going to mention, at least for now, because it's just opening, is a film called Mr. Turner, Mike Lee's film, about the English painter J.M.W. Turner. Wonderful performance by Timothy Spall. And that's another one that there's been a lot of movies this year about. Driven artists and artistic egos and obsessions, you know, that whiplash you could throw in there.
I love those. They're such fun.
Birdman you can throw in there, I suppose. A film I like but didn't love. But Mr. Turner is one of my favorites this year. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you Jewish?
No.
Okay. I like. I didn't love. I didn't think so.
No, but I appreciate the compliment.
Interstellar.
I liked it.
Oh, it's terrible. I had a bad ripped-off copy, granted.
You were the worst pirate out here.
I am not. I just look at what other people have ripped off and to judge if it was worth doing or not. And it was, you know, one of those camcorder rip-offs. And guys stand up in the middle of the screen, you know, they get in front of the guy's camera.
I feel that even listening to these stories of crime, I'm going to be arrested.
Wormhole. What? There's a what? Worm? There's a worm.
Well, that may have had some...
Terrible. That's a terrible movie, though.
That may have had some impact on your experience of the film, okay, if you saw it.
It was not even as good as the Disney that it stole from, the Black Hole.
Oh,
Disney
yeah.
made a film, Maximilian
they
Schell.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
And it's called Black Hole, and it was the same thing. They had the robots and everything. Honest to God, it's a total ripoff. Look at it.
Wow.
Look at.
It's been a long time since I've seen the Black Hole.
Yeah.
Well, that's back in the 70s, I think,
oh,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
can we
that.
Get. Let's get to the worst.
What?
Speaking of black holes.
What? Well, I'll just say Interstellar cried out for Sandra Bullock in that movie. That's the only thing that could have saved it if it was Sandra Bullock going through a wormhole. That would have been amusing.
I remember the last time we talked about Gravity, and you basically turned into a discussion of your problems with Sandra Bullock, right?
Yeah. I don't have any problems with her so much.
What can we get to the worst of list here?
I just want to
point out that, it didn't even quite crack the top or bottom 10, but if you're going to see a musical based on a Broadway show this this season. Try Into the Woods, which is pretty good, and Avoid Annie, which really makes a series of mistakes, which are just depressing.
Do you think he was really Kim Jong-un was trying to stop Annie and not the interview? Because he wanted the Daddy Warbucks role?
It would be great to actually have the North Korean leader watch both those films and then force him to decide
judge.
which of the two
now
am I going to shut down? Yeah. Which one has worse songs? You know, but my favorite bad film of 2014, and that's a special category because it has to give you
right.
It has to give you some merriment. It has to give you some fun, not just sort of
so bad it's good.
Yeah, Left Behind with Nicolas Cage is
with Nicolas Cage.
A series of books about the rapture, and Nicolas Cage plays an airline pilot who loses half his passengers mid-flights because they've been raptured. There's a mid-air collision.
It has Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas
That's
Cage.
A wonderful
and Nicolas Cage playing kind of a stalwart Robert Stack type of, you know, and yet Nicolas Cage is the least reliable and sober seeming airline pilot I've seen in the movie since Dean Martin in Airport.
Bravo, bravissimo, Nicolas. And he's related to Coppola, isn't he? Somehow along the line, he's like his nephew.
Yeah. But and Nicolas Cage in the right film is wonderful.
Yeah. What?
Charlie Kaufman's adaptation. He's really good in that.
That was okay. That was weird.
I think he's really funny in Honeymoon in Vegas.
He was pretty good in that one where he was an arms dealer, world arms dealer.
Right. Lords of War, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Despite him being in it. Did you ever see him? They used to send him up on Saturday Night Live for the imitations they would do. That was one of my favorite things on the show.
I just wouldn't cast him as a straight arrow airline pilot. I just wouldn't. If I walked onto a plane and there's Nicolas Cage, I would consider Amtrak. Yeah. I think.
Michael, I think that about covers a lot of ground there. I want to thank you for coming up and joining us. Great to have you here.
Kenosha
native, and he's rare because he's both a Kenosha native and a Racine native. That's almost never happened in nature before. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Michael Phillips from the Chicago Tribune. There you go. All the films you need to know. The good, the bad, the ugly. The Nicolas Cage.